the countless small tears, the sensation of muscle wringing itself out, is one you know in your wrists, your lower forearms, parts of you that you need for the instrument that has you by the heart. Your gringo teacher often told you what immense promise she saw in you. She said that you would elevate the cymbalum to the level of great orchestra. You winced every time, shrugging away the insult, because while she thought of it as a carnival instrument, you always knew it to be the collection of wood and metal strings that gives music all its colors. You learned to repair the steel and copper strings yourself because there were so few who knew how to do it, and finding a repair shop in our constellation of rural towns was never easy or cheap. And there was no one you really wanted to trust with the instrument your grandfather had left you. Your grandfather, who performed in both city squares and grand halls, and who you thought of when your music teacher watched you, her stare so intense it burned into your back. She is beautiful, your music teacher, but I think her beauty dimmed to you every time she pushed you to play the Liszt again, even when you were past the time the lesson was meant to end, even when your tendons felt like they were tearing apart in your wrists, even when your forearms felt like they were turning to flames. Your mother, you told me, worried as you iced your wrists at night, and you told her not to, that if musicians wanted to become great, sometimes it involved pain. She pressed her lips together and made you lay bags of frozen peppers under your forearms, because if you had to ice your wrists, you might as well bring yourself a little luck at the same time. After a bag had half thawed, she would throw it into a heated pan, added to what she was cooking. You told me later, when your family ate together, you couldn't decide if you were eating your own pain or your own luck. Any bystander might not think the instrument you love so much would wear down the tendons in the wrists and forearms. They would simply marvel at how quickly your hands moved, how precisely you struck the beaters against the strings, the tips making the timbre sound different, depending on whether the leather is hard or soft. But that is because your skill, your effort, the hours of practice on your grandfather's cymbalum and the one at your music teacher's house made it look easy. Your hands flew, changing direction as quickly as hummingbirds, always finding the right place to land. But any bystander would not feel the collecting effect of all those impacts. They would not know the wearing down caused by hundreds of thousands of times striking the beaters just where they needed to hit. They would not guess at the tension in your wrists, the taut muscle in your forearms, the tiny friction every time you bring a beater down. Do that enough times, and the pain in your wrists will probably be enough to wake you up at night. Do that enough times, and it will startle you out of sleep, leaving you with the memory of dreams in which your arms are branches on fire. Still, you took the brush-lined road to your music teacher's house, your feet as accustomed to the dampening pedal as to the long walk. You did as she told you, repeating the Stravinsky until she said yes, you were feeling the music, not just playing it. Running through the original score of Les Noces until you thought your veins were molten, wincing as you held your wrists under cold water in her downstairs bathroom because you did not want the pain showing on your face as you sounded each note of Bartok's Rhapsody No. 1. But the pain did show on your face, and your music teacher said that such cringing, such hardening in your jaw would never let you on the grandest stages. She said you could not take each wrist in the opposite hand between sections or movements, no more than a ballerina can stretch her calves on stage. Your hands, and your wrists, and your forearms, they spoke, even when you told them, asked them, begged them to be quiet. And the more that pain took hold of you, the more your music teacher cast you aside like a frayed bow. This is the part that took you the longest to tell me. This is the part that, when you did, made my heart feel like it was cracking open. Because I could feel it. The cold water as you tried to put out the flames in your muscles, the feeling of your teacher losing both patience and the sparkling faith she once had in you. I know the look. I got it from my own dance teachers when they saw me falter on ankles that were giving out under me, when they caught the wince under my stage smile. I wish you hadn't known it too. That look, I guess, is how you came to be in my great-grandmother's village. Even though you are unrelated to anyone there. Even though you are a different kind of brown-skinned boy than I am a brown-skinned girl. You came to be in my bisabuela's village because there is an old man who lives there.